The Truth News Network. Mainstream news, for the most part, cannot be trusted. Want the truth?
And nothing but the truth?
It's here every day at the Truth News Network. Here with today's truths is Dan Newman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TruthNewsNetwork.org. We're so thankful you joined us today. Today, a very, very controversial subject. Let's just get right to it. The title of today's story is Dehumanization. No matter where we look in the world today, we see evil in our neighborhoods, our businesses, our schools, our cities, our states, pretty much everywhere throughout the country. Very few will disagree that evil lives among us. But many of us see the evil acts taken by people around us, and we automatically think, and sometimes we say this, that person is evil. Who can discount the fact that Adam Lanza, remember him, the Sandy Hook school shooter? Sung Hui Cho was the Virginia Tech massacre perpetrator. Omar Mateen, the Orlando nightclub. Stephen Paddock, the slaughter in Las Vegas. And way back then, Timothy McVeigh, who bombed the Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Who can think or say they did not commit some of the most heinous acts in human history? But were the people who committed those acts evil themselves, or were just their acts of murder evil? Does and can evil do evil by itself? So let's get started today by determining this. What is evil? Evil is defined as the force in nature that governs and gives rise to wickedness and sin. Can a person, a human being, actually be evil? Since World War II, moral, political, and legal philosophers have become increasingly interested in the concept of evil. This interest has been partly motivated by definitions of evil by laymen, social scientists, journalists, and politicians, as they try to understand and respond to various atrocities and horrors such as genocides, terrorist acts, mass murders, and tortures and killing sprees by psychopathic serial killers. It seems that we cannot capture the moral significance of these actions and their perpetrators by calling them wrong or bad or even very, very wrong or very, very bad. We need somehow the concept of evil. To avoid confusion, it's important to note that there are at least two concepts of evil, a broad concept and a narrow one. The broad concept picks out any bad state of affairs, wrongful action, or character flaw. The suffering of a toothache is evil in the broad sense, as is telling a little white lie. Evil in the broad sense has been divided into two categories, natural and moral evil. Natural evils are bad states of affair which do not result from the intentions or negligence of moral agents. Hurricanes and toothaches are examples of natural evils. By contrast, moral evils do result from the intentions or negligence of moral agents. Murder and lying are examples of moral evils. One school of thought holds that no person is evil, and that only acts may be properly considered evil. Psychologist and mediator Marshall Rosenberg claims that the root of violence is the very concept of evil or badness. When we label someone as bad or evil, Rosenberg claims, it invokes the desire to punish or inflict pain. It also makes it easy for us to turn off our feelings towards the person we are harming. He cites the use of language in Nazi Germany as being a key to how German people were able to do things to other human beings that they normally would not do. He links the concept of evil to our judicial system, which seeks to create justice via punishment. That's punitive justice, punishing acts that are seen as bad or wrong. He contrasts this approach with what we found in cultures where the idea of evil was even non-existent. In such cultures, when someone harms another person, they are believed to be out of harmony with themselves and their community, or seen as sick or ill, and measures are taken to restore them to a sense of harmonious relations with themselves and with others. Psychologist Albert Ellis agrees in his school of psychology called Rational Emotive Behavioral Therapy. He says the root of anger and the desire to harm someone is almost always related to variations of beliefs about other human beings. He further claims that without holding those beliefs and assumptions, the tendency to resort to violence in most cases is less likely. American psychiatrist M. Scott Peck, on the other hand, describes evil as militant ignorance. The original Judeo-Christian concept of sin is a process that leads one to miss the mark and not achieve perfection. Peck argues that while most people are conscious of this, at least on some level, those that are evil actively and militantly refuse this consciousness. Peck describes evil as a malignant type of self-righteousness, which results in a projection of evil onto selected, specific, innocent victims, often children or other people in relatively powerless positions. Peck considers those he calls to be attempting to escape and hide from their own conscience through self-deception and views this as being quite different from the apparent absence of conscience evident in sociopaths. Today's evil, and boy, there's a bunch around us. For horror movie fans, this time of year especially, Michael Myers is the epitome of evil. Millions have looked in since the mid-70s as Jamie Lee Curtis's character has, through multiple episodes, tried to elude the nonstop attempts of her brother, Michael, to murder her in their hometown of Haddonfield. Michael in the Halloween series is a psychopath who to continually escapes from mental institutions, does so to hunt down his sister. In the process, of course, he brutally murders dozens of unwitting innocents. The Michael Myers character magnifies the thought that there can be and are people who are literally evil themselves. Whether or not people are evil, when the perception of others is that someone is not simply committing evil acts when they perform heinous acts and slaughter on innocents, but happen because that person is evil, that thought process can become fundamental. And when perceptually labeling someone as evil, those perceptions and decisions made from those frame the mental and emotional foundation of that person. That opens a human nature can of worms. Let's cut to the chase. What about Howard Dean? You know him. He's a former member of Congress. He's a doctor, a former presidential candidate, former Democrat National Committee chairperson, is a vocal anti-Trump pundit. In a recent MSNBC interview with several other guests, Dean illustrated how our today conversation about people being evil or people simply embracing evil are viewed differently by different people. Guess which way Dean applies evil to the president? This is a quote. Dean said this, "I think in the end, hope wins over evil, but it takes a long time. Both of those work in humankind. That's what this struggle is about. The struggle about good versus evil." And he finished it by saying this, "And the President of the United States is evil." Dean has, in his opinion of President Trump, taken the approach of not just assigning certain acts committed by the president as evil. Dean ascribes the president himself as evil. What Dean is really saying but not saying is his personal opinion of Donald Trump, rather than saying, you know, in my opinion, he's not a good guy and he does some bad things. Dean qualifies his feelings by simply saying the president is evil. M. Scott Peck, in his book, People of the Lie, The Hope for Healing Human Evil, uses the example published by Eric Fromm in describing evil people who had necrophilia, which is obsessive fascination with death and corpses. from added to that definition of necrophilia. He was actually sensitive to this fact when he broadened the definition of necrophilia to include the desire of certain people to control others, to make them controllable, to foster their dependency, to discourage their capacity to think for themselves, to diminish their unpredictability and originality, to keep them in line. Distinguishing it from a biophilic person, that's one who appreciates and fosters the variety of life forms and the uniqueness of the individual, he demonstrated a necrophilic character type whose aim it is to avoid the inconvenience of life by transforming others into obedient automatons, robbing them of their humanity. In other words, somebody that carries this attitude wants to get another person by controlling them to turn into kind of a laid-back individual that doesn't make any waves. For them, evil, for the moment, is the force residing either inside or outside of human beings that seeks to kill or liveliness. And goodness is its opposite. Goodness is that which promotes life and liveliness and being yourself. So what about Christianity and the Bible? Where does evil fit into all of this? Where to begin? Evil was introduced to the world in the Garden of Eden. Satan, who many will say is the embodiment of evil itself, introduced evil for the first time ever in human history. Adam and Eve were both Satan's targets. It is much simpler for those who do not believe in Christianity or the Bible or certain parts of it to simply ascribe evil itself to people, not just acts people conduct from succumbing to evil. For humans who believe in God, that Jesus is God's Son, and that Jesus died to bear and forgive all of humanity's sins, evil, it makes much better sense to disassociate sin, evil, from the sinner and evil acts from the person who commits those evil acts or sin. In other words, people are not evil. Bad acts that people commit against others is evil. President Trump, after the racial violence in Charlottesville, made it clear in a press conference he understands the difference. Instead of terming racist people at Charlottesville, calling them evil, he plainly stated in that press conference that all racism is evil, an act of those people, and that those that embrace racism embrace evil itself. He did not say racists are evil, just their racism. Hopefully sharing the words, comments, and definitions and opinions of the experts on the subject of evil didn't bog you down. Yeah, I quoted some psychologists and psychiatrists and some very learned educators on the subject. I wanted to make sure we could bookend to get an understanding of the difference between evil and evil acts. One thing is certain. In this vitriolic environment in our nation today, it's imperative that Americans find a way to turn it down a notch or two. Americans must learn to recognize acts of evil do not necessarily happen at the hands of evil people. Rather, those acts that people sometimes commit against others are evil acts. Instead of letting anger at the evil acts or words of others morph into evil acts of our own, of violence, we must find ways to separate in our minds and hearts the acts from the people. Believing in ourselves that certain people are evil dehumanizes them to us. It makes them an object, not a person. Think about what that really means. Subconsciously, we are saying that a person is evil itself and therefore has no hope for change, forgiveness, for committing acts of evil, and therefore has no chance of reconciliation or redemption of any kind. Who are we to make such a determination about someone else? Hey, who are we to make a determination like that about ourselves? How can we get this done? Well, the simplest way is to allow one's personal relationship with their Creator to intervene. Now, how do you do that? A relationship defines two-way give and take between two people. To develop and exist for some period of time, any relationship has got to be built on communication and built by communication. A married couple that plans to spend a lifetime together, to do that, they've really got to get to know each other, the good and the bad. How can they make that happen? There's only one way to do it, folks. Spending time together, learning about each other, and communicating. A personal relationship with God is exactly the same. Communication to share thoughts and ideas, asking and getting answers to questions, reading what God has said through his prophets and his leaders throughout the Bible. These are all ways to communicate with him. Going to a church is a wonderful way to interact with others who have the same or similar spiritual ideas. But attending church, no matter how good the music or the sermon, that cannot be a substitute for a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And if you believe the Bible, all through it, God talks about his desire to have a relationship, a personal relationship with each of us. A true relationship with God must have the same foundation of a relationship between two humans, understanding of each other that comes only through communication. For Americans to turn it down a notch, Americans need to find ways to communicate with each other on a personal basis rather than standing across towns and states crying that others are evil. Think about this. If someone feels that another person who has committed one of the horrible acts mentioned above is actually evil in person, it is virtually impossible to find common ground or any hope of ever coexisting. I mean, think about it. How could you ever believe that you could have any kind of relationship, live in the same country, the same state, the same town as somebody like Adam Lanza, who killed all those kids at Sandy Hook? In that instance, how can anyone expect for there to ever be any commonality, mutual understanding, or respect to be developed? We must learn to separate acts of evil from those who commit acts of evil. There's a difference. We must find those differences. And we must find our commonalities. We've got to put hate and anger initiated against us by others aside and push forward together. We got to stop dehumanizing others by calling them evil. Separate evil acts from the people who commit those evil acts, even when those evil acts may be against us. That's a wrap for today's version of TruthNewsNet.org. Thanks so much for joining us. If you got questions, email me, dan@truthnewsnet.org. Or you can post a comment below. If you haven't logged in on the front page of the website, do so. You leave your email address there. Of course, then you'll be able to comment or ask questions. But you can also bet that you will never miss another podcast or a story, because when one goes live, you'll that night get an email with a link to that story. That's all you'll receive from us. We don't sell anything. We don't ask you for anything. And your email address is safe and secure. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day. So long, everybody.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear.
TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.